Recording is on.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the VC API call. This is January 18th, 2022. Let's go ahead and get the agenda in here. On the agenda today, which is in IRC, on the agenda today is just an agenda review, which is what we're doing right now, introductions and reintroductions, if we need any. We will then move on to relevant community updates, spend 5 minutes on that, look at two pull requests around workflow APIs, and hope to try to at least have a tiny bit of discussion there, put 30 minutes to it, but we can move on from it if folks don't want to dwell on that. And then finally, we'll be doing some issue processing as time allows, and then any other business if folks want. Are there any updates or changes to the agenda? Anybody want to talk about anything else today? Okay, if not, we'll go ahead and get started. Let's see. First up on the agenda is our introductions and reintroductions. Intros and reintros. Is there anyone new on the call, or anyone that has had a change that wants to give us an update? I'm assuming Juan Cho is Juan and not a new person.
That's me, sorry.
No, that's fine.
Different device.
Yeah. Okay. No introductions or reintroductions. Relevant community updates. Does anybody have anything that the group should know about with respect to VC API or protocols or anything in general happening in the API space around verifiable credentials? All right. No updates there. I forgot to mention, that the verifiable credential 1.1 spec, the final date to vote on that is today. If you have not voted in favor of publishing it as an updated rec, please do so. It doesn't have a lot of votes on it. And for those of you that can see the votes, you'll see some very interesting commentary by a very, very, very big company. It's on a good track. It's just, anyway, take a look. Any other community updates before we move on? I guess it's worth mentioning that, interop's going to be a big part, of this year with respect to kind of VC API and some of the other stuff that we're doing in other spaces. And I expect us to probably have an interop discussion, not next week, but the following week, just to cover some interop things. Dimitri, I shared a link in the CCG minute. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me right now, but, you should be able to find it in the raw logs, public logs there. All right. On to pull requests. So the first pull request is about the workflow APIs. So just to remind everyone, on the last call, we talked in a fair amount of detail about the non-normative workflow API things. It just, you know, the messages, you know, going back and forth, around, credential refresh and how that could be generalized. This PR, pull 255, covers, and actually, let me go ahead and share my screen here. This PR covers, a realization of that API. So it actually defines it. So PR255 basically takes the non-normative text that we had last time, moves it into a new section on workflows. It adds two endpoints and defines them in OpenAPI specification YAML. It identifies that we're talking about generalizations to the existing VC API. And then it provides two diagrams. One of them is the generic VC API flow, this kind of back and forth, showing how the workflow calls are made. So you basically request to start a workflow. A verifiable presentation request comes back requesting information from you and a way of interacting. And then you respond back to that with a verifiable presentation with the things that, for example, the issuer asked for or the verifier asked for. And then once the receiving app, the issuer, the verifier processes the information, they let you know how it went. So they'll either give you a new verifiable credential if you're refreshing, or they'll say, hey, thanks, I got that data, looks good to me, or they'll kick back an error, or they'll say, hey, I need more information with you with an additional interaction request there. So there's a generalized flow in the spec now. And that generalized flow is the exact same thing that we have proposed in the credential refresh spec. So the credential refresh spec is a specialization of the generalized flow in the VC API PR that's here. Let's see. Let me see if I can get a preview. So the new section is here under workflows. And there are two endpoints, workflows, the name and start, and then workflows and an active workflow ID and presentations. So you either start a workflow and then you're asked to give it some data and you post the data at the presentations endpoint. And these two are just kind of like works in progress, the naming, whether or not this is a design pattern or an actual endpoint URL, still to be determined. The diagram here is the same one that you saw on the previous screen. And then it's just got a whole bunch of, you know, it has the examples of the thing that we talked about last time. It also talks about the start workflow here, and it's got, you know, JSON schema on validating it and response and error codes and things of that nature. So that's that. PR 255. Let me pause and see if there are any questions or concerns. I see Mike's provided some feedback. Marcus, you've provided some feedback. I don't know if y'all want to elaborate on that here. Go ahead, Justin.
There we go. So my main question with this is that if that, hey, I need to get the user involved thing, and Marcus's comment, I think it was, starts to touch on this, can be abstracted enough to be able to act as a jumping off point for a variety of different systems. Because this, it very much feels like the www authenticate header style thing. Like there's, you're basically saying, I can't fulfill this request, but here's some information that you need, in order to go do some, to do a different protocol to fulfill the request that you want, right? Because it is about API access, and that is an API response. And this, I think, from my perspective, is where Adrian's questions of overlap or meshing with things like Map, really come into play, where things like, you know, DIDCOM messaging and stuff really come into play, is in that part of the step.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And what you just said, is where the next PR picks up. So the next PR talks about interaction and bootstrapping into other protocols and, you know, I can't do anything with you here. You need to go over there, style interaction. So, that is not all of the PR here. The PR here is just kind of a general kind of structure. But I think your comments, Justin, apply more to like Interact. If Interact comes back and says, I need you to go somewhere else and do something else, I think that's where the majority of your comments, apply. If you just, you know, if all the responses is like, I need a verifiable presentation from you to do a DID auth, then you can just respond directly and that, you know, that could be the end of it.
So I would actually like to push back on that and ask why that is a different thing, because in both cases, you are telling the client, here's something that I need from you.
Yeah. And so maybe it's not a different thing.
And that's how we're treating it in GNAP. Which is where I think that, there are some similarities in the pattern here, whether or not there's overlap and abstraction in the protocol, I think, you know, remains to be figured out. Mm-hmm. But the similarities that I'm seeing in the pattern are around that type of thing, where sometimes what you want somebody to do is go off and talk to somebody else and go do a whole other protocol and then get back to you with something. Sometimes you just want them to answer a question that you're asking directly. Give me a verifiable presentation that answers this query or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're materially very similar. They're semantically identical things where even though the process for fulfillment is very different.
Yep. Yep. So I think we need to kind of as a group drill into that and see if there's stuff here we can simplify or if there's overlap where we can remove, you know, unnecessary differentiation and things of that nature. Adrian, you're on the queue. And we can't hear you, Adrian, unfortunately.
How about now?
Yep, I can hear you. Go ahead, Adrian.
That was quick. So having spent about a decade in the UMA context and OAuth, and then watching the healthcare people go and invent something called UDAP instead of adopting UMA or looking forward to GNAP, I'm very sensitive to what Justin just said. So I'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of experience out there with what GNAP is now fixing that was not fixed before. And the healthcare specific approach, I don't think is going to catch on even in healthcare, but they're doing it.
All right. Thanks for that input, Adrian. Okay. If there are no other comments on this PR, please take a look at it. You know, tell us what you think of it. That sort of thing. The next, PR up, is, in a different repo. But this goes to what Justin, was, speaking to, which is, you might want to bootstrap into another protocol or there may be another protocol that comes into effect. So, in the verifiable presentation request spec, which a number of vendors are using in this space, like the traceability folks, DigitalBazaar uses it, there is a section on interaction. So last I think it was a week or so ago, we talked about mediated and unmediated presentation. So you need a human being to step in and do something, or you don't need a human being to step in and you can just respond through HTTP. That takes basically a verifiable presentation, right? So those are the two things that we had before. But interaction, as we talked about last week, has, you can provide a whole bunch of different ways of interacting, and these are usually known as different protocols. And so when you say, I want to start a workflow, and the response comes back to you, in it, there can be an interact mechanism. And it could, for example, be an OpenIDC credential provider interact mechanism, where it expects you to then bootstrap into an OpenIDC credential provider approach. So this is the work that Matter has been working on. So if you wanted to respond using OpenIDC credential provider, it says, I understand that, and you can go here to do that. Or if you wanted to interact and communicate over DIDCOM, so you wanted to switch from VC API into DIDCOM, you have that capability through this edition. And you can list multiple interaction mechanisms. So you can respond just through VC API. You can respond with OpenIDC credential provider. You can respond with DIDCOM and the receiving, you know, server, the issuer, for example, supports all three protocols, or two or whatever, you know, it is. So this, PR is meant to demonstrate that we could, bootstrap into other protocols, through, you know, a verifiable presentation, request. It tells you how it can interact. Now, clearly the market, it's best for the market if we could agree on one thing. You know, simpler, if it solves all the use cases, you know, simpler security, characteristics, less code to go wrong, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what we're trying to do here is kind of show all the different wallet protocols that there is a way to go about this where not everyone has to choose to die on their own hill, right? It's a, we can at least agree to the mechanism in which we then bootstrap into a separate protocol, which, you know, is one way that we could go about this. So this PR is pretty simple. It just adds the OIDC credential provider and DIDCOM presentation examples, largely as a thought experiment, to see what the group feels about that. Mike, you're on the queue.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, super. First time using Safari here. Okay. My question on the flow. This is the holder reaches out to the issuer in the very first call in order to get this message back that says how the issuer can interact. Correct for all
yes.
cases?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. Can you see my screen? I'll
yep.
try and point.
Yep.
So
no,
on the diagram. Step one is, so this is the generic flow, but let's assume holder on the left, issuer on the right. If a holder reaches out to an issuer and says, I want to start this workflow, the issuer can respond back with, that's great. Here's the information I need from you, and here's how you can interact with me. At that point, they can say, I want you to interact with me using kind of the VC API. Or I want you to interact with me using OpenIDC credential provider or DIDCOM V2 or WackyPEX
mm-hmm.
or this is a fully automated exchange. Just, you know, give me a presentation back in return.
Okay.
All of those are options.
So
could
the
options.
So this first API endpoint is like a, almost like a dynamic discovery, API call. That would be kind of standardized through this API saying any wallet implementing this dynamic discovery can make this API call and then look for an interact response, which then might switch them over to a DIDCOM or OIDC flow where that stack is fully implemented. I'm getting that sense. I'm getting that flavor. I don't know if that's the intention.
That is the intent. I don't know if it's a discovery. I see how you could see it as a discovery mechanism. It's really meant to be like, I want to do this thing with you. And then you say, great, here are the ways that we can interact to accomplish that.
Right. And so, I guess my other comment there is it's not like a static dot well known, how could we possibly talk together type meta document. It's a context specific discovery, API.
Yes. So the place that that's kicked off, let me bring up this other PR here. There's this start workflow, thing where, so it's like workflows, the name of the workflow and start. There's a presumption that this is shared out of band somewhere, right? And it could be that you get this URL from a well-known thing that is yet to be invented. But the idea is that you have a specifically, like a specific endpoint you go to just kick the process off. Mm-hmm. And from there, you can discover how to interact for that specific process, for that specific workflow you're talking about. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm wondering then, would a valid implementation, and this is maybe a huge question, so I apologize if it explodes, but could an implementer of the VC API, just implement this workflow start and response message? And then, for example, the OpenID Connect or a DIDCOM flow is their core. But so the only piece they really implement from VC API is this component.
Or I think short answer is yes. I think at least that's kind of in the proposal, but that's okay. Up for the group to kind of discuss and see if that's a, you know, good idea.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. And you said, you know, yes, that would be, compliant. So, okay, cool. Great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Mike Prorock, you're on the queue.
Yeah. Thanks, Manu. And Mr. Varley, I think you hit on something key, which is it's highly context specific, right? This is not like a capabilities, discovery mechanism, right? This is not saying, oh, what crypto do you support or anything like that, right? It's very specific around, you know, oh, you've got this thing. Let me go ahead and deal with this specific item, right? Like a credential type item or something else. There are elements of that. I think the other key thing you hit on is that we may well see microservice type deployments that are like, yep, I'm just handling workflows or I'm just, you know, handling verification, et cetera, as subsets of this. So.
Yep. That's exactly right, Mike. You know, I think the goal with the VC API is you can choose to only implement subsets of it. So issuers would probably only, you know, implement issuing and may implement workflows. Verifiers would maybe just implement verification without issuing. You know, present holder software might just implement this side of it, right? But the idea is the workflow stuff anyone can implement. So whether you're an issuer, you might have workflows for issuing stuff. For verifiers, you might have workflows for verifying stuff. And you could even contact holders and say, I want to engage in a certain type of well-known workflow with you. But I mean, that's a bit speculative, right? I don't know. Traceability folks might have a use case. I think traceability does have a use case for that, where the issuer contacts you and they're like, I've got some credentials for you now. And so that could be viewed as like a workflow. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the queue.
Yeah, since you went there, we absolutely do have that exact use case of saying, yep, I've got a pile of credentials or a presentation with a bunch of, you know, credentials inside of it that, you know, let me know when you're ready to come get this, right? And, you know, does some exchange of, you know, challenge token, et cetera. Once again, we also, from an interop standpoint, are starting to look at that capabilities discovery side, right? And how does that get done? We had been using didconfig, which has some complexity, likely shifting over to didweb on, a lot of that. So, but that kind of capabilities, this discovery of, are you supporting issuing? You know, are you supporting verifying, right? Basically, what are these endpoint groups? Are you supporting? That side of it is getting, you know, somewhat auto detected and checkboxed via, tests on our, on the interop, side of things for traceability. So.
Got it. Thanks, Mike. Yep. Yep. Okay. So, I mean, plenty to dive into here. You know, the first step is to try and just define exactly what the API looks like, what the schema's input, output documentation looks like and kind of go from there. Okay. That's PR15 on the verifiable presentation request spec. Any other comments or questions on being able to bootstrap into other protocols from VPR? Okay. If there's nothing else there, let's go ahead and jump into, issue processing next. Issue processing. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just a light, pause. There's one thing that occurred to me, and I just wanted some clarification on your thinking on this so far. As far as bouncing out into other services, obviously things that are very credential, you know, related, such as OIDC, et cetera, makes sense there. What about like arbitrary services, right? Because a case that comes up for us that we're, you know, still in the early phases of hashing out is like, you know, doing things like saying, hey, I've got this series of credentials coming in related to some known thing like a shipment. Can you go ahead and just start streaming me these credentials, you know, over to some arbitrary service, right? That could just think pub sub type stuff. Is that something you envision being able to handle with this kind of thing? Basically saying, yep, if you're authorizing X, you know, yep, you could go ahead and do that and then fire off this service here. Or do you think it should be bound a little tighter than that?
The former. So interaction types are meant to be an extensibility point. And so if there's some kind of like, let's say you're doing like MQTT streaming of some totally different other type of credential, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Now, you know, is it a good thing to bootstrap from like a verifiable credentials ecosystem into some kind of totally different ecosystem? I don't know, but it's certainly possible to do that, right? Or maybe it's, you know, you're sharing verifiable credentials over MQTT instead of this, or Bluetooth, right? Or pick anything else. Pick any other type of, you know, protocol that's not HTTP. You should be able to bootstrap into that from using this interaction type.
Okay.
Did that
cool.
answer your question, Mike?
It did. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into issues. First one up is issue 97, and this is Mike. You open this issue. Confusion around endpoint naming. Mike, would you like to remind us what this issue is about? It's
yeah.
a year old at this,
this
point.
This is, back in the day a little bit, and I think spurred from discussions going back even into 2020 and before, but basically the whole point of this issue is that, you know, there's some pretty good guidance around how do you name REST endpoints and things like that. And it, you know, we don't really follow that super great here on the VC API. There have been some improvements to this, but this was basically kind of getting at, you know, hey, should we go ahead and adopt certain naming, you know, conventions? And if so, when is a good time to open a PR on that? When is a good time not to, et cetera? So, especially as we think about things like multi-tenant services, et cetera, it gets, you know, more important probably.
Right. So I think, excellent point. I think we decided to follow, I forget the name of the approach, but you know, it's where you have a verb as the last bit. So cart, checkout, playlist, play, that kind of thing. I think we agreed to using that general pattern in general. And then, you know, the question of can you tack the API on to the end of a tenant ID? I thought we said, yeah, you can do that. Meaning that, like, you know, the endpoints are not intended to be just bare off of a domain. I thought we said we could put them at the end of a tenant ID. As long as they're the end of a URL, we're good. But I don't know if I'm misremembering that. Anyone else remember what decision we came to there?
I also recall the latter one, specifically that requiring it to be at root was an anti-pattern that we seem to recognize.
Okay. I'm going to write that down because I think that's what we said. Anyone have any heartburn over that? And then does anyone have any heartburn over the does anyone remember the name of, like, there's a name for the approach we took?
Yeah, I'm looking it up and basically no one uses it, which is also part of the confusion. Anytime I throw this API at a developer, is it doesn't match what everyone else in the world does. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, which is more noun based followed by, you know, verb of like, oh, I've got credentials and then I want to, you know, I have a credential / I want to issue, or, you know, a getter in this context of, you know, holders for us and stuff like that.
So do we want to write that down as a decision we made and it's problematic, or do we want to say we never made that decision, but for whatever reason, that's kind of where the API is these days and we need to talk about it more?
I mean, from my side, I'd like to talk about it more, or at least revisit maybe with a reorg PR, but whenever timing is right. So I'm happy to comment on the issue on that.
Okay. Do you think we need a new specific issue around that, or do you want to continue discussing it?
I think continuing here is fine. I think, because I know Ori added some helpful examples up above of different paths that also get followed. So,
okay. That's an issue. Okay. 2.01.18 telecon. Okay.
Since then, you know, RESTful API obviously has gone through and done some very useful things, like, you know, put out an actual design tutorial for RESTful APIs, right? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, that we probably should adhere to if we're trying to, you know, just in as much as this is pre-standards, that's part of my concern, is let's not get down a certain path too far and then have to go revamp everything, right?
Yep. Okay. All right. That's that item. Anyone else want to weigh in on that, or before we move on to the next one? All right. Next item is issue 104. raised by one, enable HTTP requests to specify optional verification checks. There was a PR that just went in that Marcus, I think you were involved with that PR and Charles was as well, where we took out the optional checks so far, I believe. Marcus, do you remember what we did there?
Yeah, I remember that the problem was specifically that there was a conflict between what's implemented in the test suite and what's in the OpenAPI specification. So the test suite was sending a checks option, but that was not actually allowed by the OpenAPI specification. And at some point we had a call, which I moderated, I think, and, because you were not there, you couldn't make it. And on that call, we had a lot of discussion around verifying and validating. And there was pretty strong consensus that some things that we would consider validation, like, checking if a verifiable credential satisfies certain business requirements or things like that, would be out of scope. So a lot of things that would maybe justify a checks option, that would make, that would add some flexibility in what exactly happens, suddenly seemed to become less important and less relevant. And the group was supportive of having a more concise and well-defined behavior when verifying something rather than having too much flexibility. And there were several open issues related to that. And all of that seemed to go into a direction where we wanted to remove this checks option. Again, first reason being the contradiction or the conflict between the specification and the test suite. And the second reason being, a feeling that we wanted less flexibility.
Got it. Thank you, Marcus. Mike, you're on the queue. Mike Prorock.
Yeah, just recalling some discussion around when this issue was opened. I think some of the difficulty was in the way it has been addressed since we've moved it to like actual more open API proper, you know, definitions. So like I know in the Trace case, we're now able to actually test using normal, you know, Postman, et cetera, type, you know, API validation tools for compliance. And I know that addresses a lot of this in addition to the fact, in addition to Marcus's, adjustments in that PR, you know, something a little while ago. So.
Okay. So this decision is the group talked about this. We wanted less optionality. And we have taken this out of the API. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we can actually validate the API schemas now as well. Okay. More fully.
Juan, do you feel like then the issue's addressed? Like this is not an option anymore. We can verify the endpoints. We're done with this
issue.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Okay. Great. All right. Next up, what do we want the March 2021 Plugfest feature freeze date to be?
I recommend sometime in 2021.
We can't change the past. Do we just close this? Overtaken by events. It is now.
Closed, no longer relevant.
Right. Closed, no longer. Longer relevant. Closing. All right, next one up. Add program completion example credential. Is Ori on the call today? I don't see him. We're going to have to probably hold off until Ori gets here. This is a learning credential in the EDU one. Dimitri, any thoughts here? Since you're a co-chair of ECEDU? Or yeah, Carrie, I guess you're here too.
Let me pull that up. This is, which issue is this?
So this, I'll put it in chat again. It's 107.
107. Right. Yeah, so the plus one that we should add an example credential like that. the exact contents of that credential, as you can probably imagine, has been evolving among various different groups. So we can, Carrie, would it make sense for us to have this as a discussion item on the EDU call to get buy-in consensus?
Yeah, I think so. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. So there's a couple of things going on. Some of the work that describes this data is happening in two education standards groups, open badges and CLR, but also in VC Edu, we've been talking about having a context file that does this, right, that helps describe this. So I think it might be safe to, I don't know if we could move it over into VC Edu or, I don't know. What do you think, Manu?
Well, yeah, we can move it over. There's a transfer link somewhere here. I forget where
it's
at.
Does that make sense to you, Dimitri?
It does, yeah. Do we want to leave a comment to that effect and see if Ori's down with that?
Okay,
yeah,
I was gonna.
That'd be great.
Okay, all right, so Ori would,
You can call us out, Dariana.
Okay.
To absolutely.
Suggest it to call. Move.
Yeah, a lot has changed in VCEDU since this was made.
Right.
So.
Carrie, what's your GitHub handle again, please?
It's KAL. I'll put it in the chat for you.
There you go. Oh, I got it. I knew. Yeah, there we go. Sorry.
Nice.
Yeah, that's suggested. Oh. Okay, that's that one. Thank you, Dimitri. Thank you, Carrie. This one might also be easy. This is issue 105.
That's been long since resolved. I issued PRs on that last year sometime.
Okay. Okay, that's that one. Oh, here's a good one. This one's issue 91. There's a suggestion that we should use a well-known endpoint for an API to advertise optional features supported, such as digital signature schemes, credential status methods, optional APIs. There's some discussion between Ori, Dan Buckner, Juan, Mike. Mike, you're the last comment on here. Thoughts?
Obviously this is evolving because didconfig, we have been leveraging over on the trace side, for exactly this. part of the issue is that DID configuration is highly complex for folks that aren't familiar with it to generate and or generate properly. I just put in the chat a link to poll 45, which we just merged on the trace interop side, which I think is related. And this has to do with the same issue as far as discovery, but leverages a DID web for that as far as just saying, hey, what keys do I need to use for testing? It obviously does not cover all capabilities, right, that that this issue addresses, but it does have, I think, is a good step in the right direction. The other note that I would make is that since we have gotten away from optional features, right, on the VC API, that in addition to leveraging something like, you know, DID web for at least key discovery for testing purposes and things like that, you know, is it probably carries us most of the way there, is my personal sense on this. So.
All right. Any other comments on this one? What do you feel are like next steps here, Mike?
Well, we can, as we get into kind of implementation of that PR45 that I linked on the trace side, we could always backport that over to VC API once we've got it up going, you know, with dynamic testing. That might be a path, right? We've been doing some stuff like that already, such as like presentations available, et cetera. So that might be a good way to handle it, right? I think it depends on the appetite for other implementers. I'm thinking of like Spruce and stuff, that may want to, you know, weigh in on, you know, service and key discovery type issues, right? And everyone shares these, you know, concerns. It's just, where do you hash it out and test it out first to make sure it even works before you try to bother defining an API around it.
Okay. So let's just say discussion will continue in this PR with this update. Does that work for everyone? Oh, look, a thumbs up sound and emoticon flying across my screen. All right, that's that one. next one up is issue 101. The README is not clear on purpose or contribution guidelines. Let's see, Mike and Ori. Mike, what are your thoughts on this one?
My thoughts are I'm going to send really nasty messages to Ori on Slack for hanging me out on this one. This is actually a dupe, I think, because in some ways, right, there is that API style guide comment, right? Controller was the word we were looking for, Manu, earlier, that has been more or less kind of moved away to collection style endpoints. This, I think we can close as a dupe of others. I think the contribution guidelines we got PR'd in, because I wrote those. And then the API guidelines are being hashed out in whatever issue that was we looked at earlier around, which issue is that? Issue 97. So between prior PRs plus issue 97 ongoing discussion, I think we can close this.
Okay, any objections to that from anyone? Okay, we will close that then. Next one is from Ori. And this is, the API does not meet the needs of our customers. It's from a while ago. Issue verify, verify presentation. David talked about this, Andreas. Mike, you provided input. I said a bunch of stuff that I forgot that I even said. Mike, you did some statistics gathering. Okay, so where are we today? Juan, I don't know. Well, no. Sorry. So Ori, Mike, and I have been the most active. I have forgotten everything I said in this issue. Mike, can you provide any kind of,
Yeah, thing? Well, I can get at some of this, right? So that we, that I know we have addressed, right? So one of the issues was some of this spun out of contention around including an array of credentials in a verifiable presentation, right? For being able to bulk exchange, you know, do one single compress, et cetera, and minimize traffic over the wire. So that is one item. The recent PRs you made that also allow for workflows that could exchange data via other protocols, if required and under, wow, the transcriber is amazing. The other one is the workflow side, right? Helps with this, as well as segmentation around better, you know, API naming and breaking stuff out into microservices, right? But so I think we're headed the right direction on this, like as a group. I don't know about closing the issue. My inclination would be say yes, assuming Ori has no concerns there with closing it. But I do think that it is something that we do need to continue to be mindful of, right? Because a lot of these workflows are very different when we're looking at, you know, tens of thousands of concurrent credential exchanges going on, you know, sometimes per minute on the supply chain side against, you know, possibly one server, right, is a different scenario than we see in other cases. Manu, obviously you have load cases as well, right, where you could see definite high load type situations. So it's just stuff we need to be mindful of as we're designing this stuff out. We need to design it to last and, you know, follow all best practices whenever possible, even and avoid reinventing the wheel, right? That's I think the, you know, one of the biggest dangers we could fall into is trying to go, oh, because it's credentials or Web3 or whatever the cool new term is, you know, to forget the lessons that have already been learned by everyone else, right? Over time. So that's my soapbox is now set aside and I'm back.
Okay. All right. So, I wrote down, you know, high level of what you said. Are we okay? I feel like these are general considerations we need to keep in mind and we're headed in the right direction. Would the group be okay with closing this issue, which is pretty big and broad? And then, or suggesting that we close the issue to Ori and then, asking for more specific issues to be raised if there's anything remaining. Okay. All right. So I'll put that in there. Check in the queue. Okay. So we've asked Ori a question. Should we put a, do we have a close? Let's do a pending close there just to mark it. we're out of time. Only 2 minutes left. Next one up was going to be 113, the OAuth 2 bearer token thing for Plugfest 2021. We didn't do that. This was, you know, overtaken by events. We could probably close it, but let's not rush that. Well, I mean, this is overtaken by events. This is for the 2021 Plugfest. We could update this for 2022. Anyway, out of time. Anything else folks would like to comment on before the end of the call? Anything we should keep in mind for the next week? Any of that stuff?
One single chair note, which is looking at certain people on this call to self-nominate for the open CCG chair role.
Plus one to that. Thanks for the reminder, Mike. All right. With that, thanks everyone for the call today. Appreciate the engagement. We will be back next week. Thanks. Bye.